You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with writer-director Matthew Bissonnette. Bissonnette's latest film is Death of a Ladies' Man. Inspired by the work of Leonard Cohen and set to some of his beloved music, Death of a Ladies' Man tells the story of a carousing college professor whose life takes a series of unimaginable turns when he begins to have surreal hallucinations and learns he may not be long for this world. In this one-on-one, we get to speak to Bissonnette about the enduring power of Cohen's music, what he believes is ultimately the male problem, and the relationship between fantasy and reality. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Hi, Matthew. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for chatting with me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, thank you for taking the time to talk about the movie.
Yeah, it's a beautiful film. Honestly, it's poetic and funny and wild, and there's so many. it's such a wild collection of words. There aren't really one way to describe it.
Well, thank you. We tried to pack a lot in.
Well, what I was wondering where the story came from.
The story itself, when I was thinking about the movie, I was just became a father, and I was a single dad for a certain period of time. So I was sort of thinking about relationships between fathers and sons, and then fathers and their children, and how those can kind of become, how do you say, fractured, and then possibly put back together. So that's sort of the genesis. Like the I'm interested in family dynamics. You know, whether it's brother relationship between brothers, mothers and sons, fathers and sons. It's just sort of the area that I'm interested in. But you're always trying to find a different kind of way to look at them. You know, like it's not exactly your life. So you take, you know, obviously your concerns or your thoughts or your interests and then build. And the story just kind of flows out of that. It's sort of how it started.
What is it about Cohen's music that made you want to explore these family relationships through his voice?
I think the things I've always kind of been interested in Cohen stuff are there's just a number of things. Sort of, he has at least my reading of his work, there's an interest in the distinction between fantasy and reality. Whatever that fantasy might be, you know, like the fantasy of art or being a ladies' man or whatever, that kind of thing, and the romance of that, which is quite powerful, and then the actual reality of living life, which never, at least in my experience from what I can see, those two things don't really fit together all that well. I mean, they fit together, but they don't. So that part I was sort of interested in. I think he's interested in the sort of the tension between responsibility and desire, that kind of stuff. So that's sort of what pulled it in. And I think there is, in his work, in an understated way, quite an interest in relationships between fathers and sons and fathers and mothers. So that's sort of there as well. And there's, at his heart of his work, there's a sense of heartbreak, I think. And even if you have the happiest childhood, there's always some sort of heartbreak in growing up. But I think everyone has that experience, if you know what I mean. There's always some disappointment and then that you come to live with and you come to understand. And as you get older, you have a more nuanced insight into that, into your particular heartbreak, which is sort of the course of life. And I think that's at the core of his work as well. And then I think his work is quite funny. So that's the other part that sort of really drew me to it. You know, and then you know, families are funny. So, you know, also wanted to kind of, you know, combine those kind of things. He has a very interesting combination of light and dark, and then also grappling with serious material, but often in a way that's not that serious. And those are probably the two things that really kind of, you know, I guess, speak to me in his work.
He's such an enigmatic artist, and I use that term because like you said, there's so many contradictions in so many things, but is that to you what makes his music endure? Like, he has been beloved for decades and has an incredible catalog. What is it about his music that you think connects with the general public? Is it that sadness?
I think so. I mean, I think that people, you know, what the line that everyone knows, there's a crack in everything.
Mm.
I think that's people's general experience of life. You know, everyone has their own cross to bear, as it were. And he had a very good understanding of that.
Mm.
And I think there's also a kind of timeless, like, for example, he came out in the mid-60s, the youth movement, a guy wearing suits, you know, with short hair. He always sort of at least either understood or wanted to be just himself. And I think that also people respond to quite a lot. Like, if you even look at sort of the production of some of his albums, they have very little to do with the kind of music that's being made at the time he made them. You know, and I think that that kind of maybe speaks to his timelessness. It's his interests were not so locked in on the here and now. He was kind of talking about things that were a little timeless in a kind of way, but life, there's an aspect of life that is timeless, that's not so preoccupied with what's ever happening at this particular moment. And I think that that's something that's allowed his stuff to endure in a way that work that's a little more predicated on the moment doesn't always, you know, keep ringing true for folks as time moves on.
You know, with the title, with the film focusing on his song "Death of a Ladies Man," the film sort of suggests almost a demise of male dominance, masculine dominance. And I know that you quote the film, or you quote the song in the film. I was wondering what in your mind is the male problem that Sam is wrestling with?
That's a good question. I mean, I think the film definitely interested in masculinity. And like, I grew up, you know, I'm in the 70s, but I was a kid in the 70s. So my kind of, you know, whatever, I come at music in a way from a punk rock kind of thing, where that sort of 60s archetype, I was aware of it, but I never really bought into it. You know what I mean? I sort of like, I certainly know that, you know, I was a big Zeppelin fan, but I never quite, we kind of also had a different kind of perspective. And I think there's a kind of masculine archetype, you know, like based on kind of whatever, romantic conquest and all that kind of stuff that is a little worn out. And the movie's just kind of looking at that and sort of, I hope, suggesting a different way of being a man. I mean, obviously you don't want to, you know, you're not really in the business of sending, you know, whatever, messages. But you're trying to look at something in a kind of way that makes sense to you and suggest, you know, other types of ways in a subtle kind of way. So I think that kind of, like, for example, here's the thing. I think there's a tendency, you know, a man in the 60s or 70s could not raise his kids. You know what I mean? Like, he would get divorced and move on. And if you met someone like that now, you go, that's not quite right. Like, you wouldn't really say that to people anymore. Whereas 30 or 40 years ago, you could comfortably say, oh, I haven't seen my children in 3 or 4 years. Where now people would be like, what'd you just say? What are you talking about? And I think that's a great change. I think the film is kind of getting at that a little bit, that there's much more to a man than drinking or a romantic pose. It's richer and more complex than that. And I think Cohen was aware of that. I mean, I think his work speaks to that. So I think he was sort of always wrestling a little bit with, I think he was wrestling with early on with that contradiction.
Now, within the film, you've talked a little bit, you mentioned about the role fantasy plays in real life. I was wondering if you could talk about that connection and how it works in the film in your mind. And even a little bit, too, one of the things that I found in the film is there's a really interesting relationship, not just with fantasy, but music and mental health at the same time. I was wondering what that connection means to you in this film.
Film is an interesting medium. I guess in some ways in all my movies, I'm a little bit concerned with or interested in the difference between either a movie and reality or people's, you know, fantasy and reality. And in some ways, I think life can be seen as the struggle, the unending struggle, to actually see either the world as it's actually happening or your own life as it's actually happening. So, like, I mean, I think that's an ongoing struggle. I think it's a very difficult thing to do, but it's sort of a heavy thing to aspire to. And film, because you can literally show a dream, do you know what I mean? You can show a fantasy in film, is one thing that makes it such an interesting medium. So what was sort of entertaining or interesting about this movie was to take this idea of, we often have a hard time perceiving what's actually happening in our lives, and then turning into these literal characters walking around. So that was kind of the genesis of that sort of idea. Like, let's take this and make it real and put it right up there and make it literal. And it's also, it's kind of visually interesting and hopefully funny and maybe a little beautiful now and then. That was kind of thinking of mixing the fantasy in. And then music, I mean, I sort of always want to have a lot of music in the films. I think one of the great things about cinema is you're combining, you know, photography and music and then narrative and theater, you know, in one kind of thing. So I'm always want to try and bring as much of that in as I can, because that's kind of my understanding of what makes cinema magic, to be able to kind of bring all these sort of things together. And I mean, music is kind of like the most, not to be too high, but the most sublime art form we have, because it goes right to your emotion, if you know what I mean. Like, movies still have a story. Books have a story. But music in two or three bars and a couple of sounds from a human voice can evoke a very, very powerful feeling. So when you bring the song into a movie, particularly this one, what we were kind of hoping for, because the movie, you know, could be seen as having dark subject matter, but we want to bring joy into it. So music to me is the most joyful art form. And the songs, I think Cohen's interesting about the thing about Cohen is, even when the subject matter is dark, his strength as sort of a tunesmith, the songs are usually quite joyful. Like, he's sort of a poet of joy in a kind of way. And so we were kind of like going, oh, great, we want a little joy in our movie. Let's just bring his stuff in, you know what I mean? And kind of let's get a little joy in here. Let's bring someone else's joy. So that was kind of what we were thinking about when we were bringing in music like that.
The character of Sam, of course, and you had said it sort of stems from your own experience, but the idea of telling your own story is sort of woven in this as well. Is there a sense of healing and being able to communicate your story, whether it's writing or music? Like, you talk about music goes right to the heart, but there's something in this film, there was something that connected with me on the idea of wanting to be heard.
That seems to me what art is about, is that you are trying to express in whatever manner you choose. You might use realism, you might use surrealism, but your particular experience as a human being. So whatever that happens to be, you know, you're trying to express that in the most pure way you can. And then, particularly in something like movies, you also have a commercial aspect. You're sort of trying to go, well, then how can I do that in a way that people are going to want to watch? So that's sort of the tension. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So if it's too much just like, this is exactly what my life is, it might not be interesting enough to people. It might seem not engaging enough. And then if it's too far to the other side, it might not have enough personal truth to resonate as well. So somewhere in there, you're trying to hit a happy medium. And then I think, yeah, personally, there's a kind of, people obviously do it. I guess people generally. There seems to be a human compulsion to tell stories. And I think that I'm probably in on that compulsion. I'm down there with everybody in our little shovels and our picks, you know, digging in that particular hole. But, yeah.
You know, one thing, too, I was wondering, Matthew, and this is sort of a juke to the left, but there, the film, of course, you know, we know Cohen's music is embedded in it. Do you have a count of how many references you made within the film? Do you have any idea?
No, I don't. Someone was asking me about that, and it wasn't, like, intentional to have references. The way we were thinking about it is, like, when they start to lose their grip on reality, my kind of experience with that is their path comes up and their subconscious just comes flowing out, if you know what I mean. So I was like, what stuff does Samuel know about? Like, what's been his life experience? And if his ship hit a rock, what would come floating up to the surface? So that was more the Cohen thing or the Yates thing. It's just like, what's floating around in there that in the moment of when the iceberg hits, what comes floating up? So then I sort of realized later, oh, it also has a kind of, insider baseball thing to it as well. But it's not really something we were thinking about that much. But it's fun. It's kind of fun that it turned out that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
But then to answer your question, I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea.
That's fair. Well, as we start to wrap up, Matthew, I just wondered, like, what is it that you hope audiences take away from your film?
It's kind of always the same thing. I think one thing that cinema really has going for it is hope. It is one of these mediums. And where it gets kind of, I guess you can have that with novels too, but I mean, particularly when we used to go to movie theaters, you could walk in a certain way, be in a dark room with other people for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and come out with a completely different feeling. You know, I mean, there's not to be too high-minded, but there's slightly transcendent quality in cinema. And I always found hope was a thing. Even in films that didn't seem that hopeful, that I would come out with, and I was always really struck by that, by the power of cinema to do that. So that's what you hope for. You hope that people come out feeling a little bit better than when they went in. I guess it's sort of what you would hope for.
That's fair. Well, I mean it. It's a beautiful film, and I do think there is a sense of hope at the end. Absolutely. And Gabriel's great in it too. I should have said that earlier, but he's wonderful in the role.
I mean, that was such a blessing for us. Just to work with him was such a pleasure.
Yeah.
And then also what he brings to it. Like, he just sort of embodies the film in such a kind of... all the qualities we've been talking about, I think that he brought those. I think he has those qualities as a human being anyhow. But he kind of brought them to the character. So I think, he was so great. Everyone, I mean, the whole cast were so great to work with. So. Anyways, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about it. Thanks so much.
No, thank you. Thank you. And have a great day. I wish you the best of luck with it.
Yeah, you too. Have a good day. Thank you.
All right, thank you.